Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Coming up on TMS, crock blocked.
Important taint paint.
My aunt has MS, I mean allergies.
Chode butter and VIP charcuterie.
Reinforced nipple area.
Chester, he was a president, wasn't he?
Riding up that hill.
Punctuate your doom scrolling.
Crap, they found me.
The wet D-pad was my wrestling finishing move.
Krispy Kreme for the tender parts.
Big old Nixon beard.
The good thick.
Zoom and enhance Scott's wrist.
Gross, but yes.
Not supporting the bad guys with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
There's a certain place on the back of my arm that when I scratch it, I can feel it in my butthole, and I just think that's really neat.
The Morning Stream. No, you better don't.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's the morning stream for Monday, June 27, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Brian Ibbett.
Yes. Hello.
I told my phlebotomist about you this morning. Would you like hear the context of that conversation?
Please tell me what you told your phlebotomist.
So I had to go in for a routine six-month blood work thing. It's just a thing I do. My doctor has me on this regimen here. And so I went in, and first thing first, I think people who write medical software, like, you know, check in, put in your info, do all your schmear, here's a little kiosk, we have touchscreens now. Whoever's writing all of that might be dumb. They might actually be dumb. It's not good. Okay. None of it's good. It's all bad and janky, and it doesn't work the way it's supposed to. And I'm just saying, maybe go back to the boards on this and come up with something better, because it's bad. You're not issuing cattle around your hospital lab area. You're dealing with people, so maybe your software should reflect that, yay holes. Anyway, that's a whole holes everything.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Strong feelings. Anyway, I'm in there. It's fine. Once I get all that done, I get in there, and there's a very nice lady, phlebotomist lady. She's like, hello, and I'm like, hi, and she sits me down, and we're talking, and she says, so what do you do? You know, they always ask what you do. Mm-hmm. And I have to explain. Oh, how do I explain
this?
Oh,
I know. Exactly. So it depends on the age of the person. After older than a certain age, I said, oh, I'm an audio producer.
Yeah. That's actually a pretty good way of doing it. Yeah. I instead today went for podcaster illustrator to see how that would land. And there she actually was like, oh, I love podcasts. I listen to them all the time. I use them on my phone. And it's just so great. What kind of shows do you do? So she wanted to know that. Mm-hmm. And I said, in fact, when this is done, if you guys hurry the hell up, because they were taking forever for the process part, the actual phlebotomy part was easy. It's just the rest of it was a nightmare, and I was like going to be late for the show. But I said, so assuming I get at her on time, I got a morning show this morning, as a matter of fact. She goes, oh, that's cool, morning show. What do you guys cover on there? Oh, all kinds of stuff. Do you have a co-host? I said, yeah, his name's Brian. And she says, oh, that's nice. And I said, he is nice. And she goes, is this what he does as well? I said, well, it's one of the things he does. I go, actually, right now, he's probably a little pooped, because, and then I went into the whole story about how you did your ride. Yeah. And explain that whole thing. She goes, that's wonderful. My aunt has MS, she says.
Oh.
And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And she goes, oh, wait, maybe it isn't MS. What is it? She was like, confused about what
syphilis.
It was something else. Like, I mean, it was something else serious, but it wasn't like, I think it just was something else. It wasn't MS. It was something else. Anyway, it was a weird little conversation, and she was very nice. She didn't leave much of a mark. I still got my cute little tag. Look at this. I'm all medicaled up. Look at that.
Yeah, how long do you have to leave that on?
I probably don't take it off now. Am I thinking? I don't know why I still have it on.
You know, people with high-res monitors are able to make out your number.
See it? Like, can you see it? Freeze it and zoom and enhance.
They can now, I don't know, charge stuff to your insurance or something. I don't know.
They're too busy trying to see what combining Darth Vader and Shrek look like on AI generators. They don't want to mess with me anymore.
There's a
it's a good time. So I'm how busy does it right now with that? Speaking of the ride, you know, kept track of how things are going in the middle, but give us the lowdown. How things go?
It's over now. Thank God. It's all right. Let's start at the beginning here. I mean, basically, I should start off with a big thank you to everyone for the well wishes, for all the contributions to MS because of you guys. I mean, I think I raised close to $3,500.
That's great.
Which is not the highest amount on my team, but was certainly one of the highest amounts in the entire Colorado group, which got me some VIP treatment. I actually... me and a couple other people on the team were able to go to the VIP tent, which where they had pizza, they had bottles, you know, all the bottles of ginger beer and root beer and stuff from Left Hand Brewery that we wanted, gourmet cheeses. We could make a little charcuterie plate, all these things.
Yeah.
So, you know, the VIP. So what I did is basically I just went in there. I took orders from the rest of the team and I said, all right, what does everybody want? You want a slice of pizza? You want sausage, cheese, pepperoni?
Damn.
And then I'd like basically take orders and I'd go from the VIP tent back over to our tent and disseminate all the stuff that people wanted.
You were a big shot is what you're telling me.
I was a big shot. No. And here's just a couple things. So you were going to ask about the chode butter. Let's just get this out of the way right now. The chode butter was, as always, a godsend on rides like this.
Single application, or did you have to reapply?
No, okay. I reapplied. Both days I reapplied at the the midpoint stop, the lunch stop, basically.
I was hoping you did that in
after I had my lunch.
The VIP tent. Brian's soaping up his unit in the VIP tent is what I was hoping.
The very important paint taint.
Yeah.
So, that stuff, I'm trying to figure out a good way to describe this. Like, if you've got a balloon with a couple of hard-boiled eggs in it, right? Yeah. It's a partial, like an unblown-up balloon, but it's got a couple of hard-boiled eggs in it. And, you know, if you've got two hard surfaces on either side of those hard-boiled eggs and the balloon, you don't want things to get pinched. And
you want them to move freely, those balloons on the edge.
Exactly. Yeah. So you want there to be a lot of let's say Crisco around that balloon to just keep it from getting pinched anywhere.
Sure.
There we go. So there's like a very vague, very subtle description of why we need chode butter.
Yeah.
All right. So previous years, this is the fourth year I've done the race.
Yeah.
Fifth, if you count the unofficial 2020 when we made our own course and just did it ourselves. But in all that time, and you've probably heard me mention this, I've never completed day two. Mm-hmm. 1 year we got pulled off because of lightning. Another year I did day one sick and got too sick overnight to do day two and actually took, you know, put me out of contention for a few days.
That was pretty bad. You were sick.
That was pretty
bad.
Yeah. And then last year, because of the pandemic, they shortened it to a 1 day 80 something mile ride. So it was a longer overall than 1 day, but not a 2 day ride. Mm. So this was the first time I'd actually completed both days. And can I tell you that, you know, they joke around and say, oh, day two is the tougher day. Oh, day two, you don't want to mess with day two. All those people are friggin' jerks and they're absolutely correct. Day two, even though it's the same number of miles and even though you're starting at your finish line and going to where the starting line was for day one, you'd think, oh, well, it's really just going to be day one in reverse. No, they changed the course for day two, right? So there's very little overlap between the paths for the 2 days.
Right.
And because of that, they stack there's a term for this. I can't think of what it is. But they have three massive hills that you have to go on the second half of the second day. Like, you're already sore from day one. And they're like, all right, so we're going to have them go up the this Lowell Hill. And then we're going to have them go up the Anthem neighborhood hill. And then we're going to have them go up Zunai, which is this, like, straight up.
So that's not just a happenstance thing. Do they plan it that way?
I think they do that on purpose. Mm. I mean, I don't know, but it feels like they do it to, like, say, all right, now you're really going to feel good about yourself at the end of this part because we're giving you three big hills to climb at the end of your second day when you're already exhausted from one day.
It's a lot.
And what I'll do is at some point I'll post shots of the – Strava has this great diagram showing – the hills and valleys and stuff that you do over the course of the 68 miles and where those things are. And you can see at the very, it's like,
did you ever get to the, as you went to the top of the hill, you went, this is it. I can't do, I'm never doing this again. And then you get to the top of the hill and go, I'm totally doing this again. This is great. Oh, I'm never doing this again. Cause you hit the next hill. Do you know what I mean?
No,
like, it doesn't ebb and flow like that.
that feeling was never because of the hills. It was a feeling because of the way my, even with the chode butter, lots of pain in that region right now. If I had a donut, I'd be sitting on it right now because it's a little on the tender side just because of my bike seat. I think I need a new bike seat that cradles my butt cheeks as opposed to the one that has pads for my butt cheeks.
Yeah, you want it to hold the butt cheeks.
I want it to hold the butt cheeks and not jab two seemingly soft pads into my butt cheeks.
Yeah.
And then the bottoms of my feet, like my feet altogether through numerous points of the ride yesterday felt numb. Like, okay. And that's because when you've got the clip in cleats, the center piece, like basically the center of the cleat that clips into your pedals has to rest right on the ball of your foot.
Ugh.
And
for a long time,
instead of, like when you walk, you know, you're walking with your whole foot,
right?
When you're pedaling, there is like one point of contact and it's right on the ball of your feet. Where so like your toes are off the front, the rest of your foot is off the back, and that bar feels like it's separating, like it's basically cutting off circulation to one or both locations.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a big little divider unit right in the middle of your foot.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So feet would go numb and basically I would just switch my stance to I would slide further back in the saddle and then raise my feet to pull up the pedals as opposed to pushing them down I would do that for about 2 or 3 minutes if I'm like on a straightaway or a downhill just to let some blood flow go back into my feet. So there's that. I'll also talk a little bit about the weather. You know, when I say 55 degrees, you think, all right, well, yeah, that's kind of cool. Here, you know, in Colorado, that and probably in Utah too, that's like, all right, long pants, but probably still like a short sleeve shirt because you're going in and out of places, and maybe you wear a hoodie or something like that with 55 degree weather.
Sure, sure.
When you're riding, it brings up a whole new set of challenges. So I started both days with sleeves and leggings that basically extended the length of my bike shorts and jersey. And they're removable. So, you know, you have this extra little sleeve.
Oh, they're separate on top. They're not. Yep. I got it. Okay. You don't have to get completely undressed when you want to go change that.
That's exactly. Good. Exactly. Yeah. I can even do it while I'm riding if I feel like it, but I usually just did it the rest up.
Yeah.
And then over that, I had just like a really thin, light windbreaker in case we got some rain.
Yeah.
And both days, and yesterday I'll talk, it was mostly Sunday, I wore the windbreaker from the starting line and then took it off at the first rest stop. Now that windbreaker acts like an airtight container containing my upper half, my torso.
Your torso container.
My torso.
Yeah.
And if you've ever been in a sauna, you know those airtight containers that hold something warm that's exerting a lot of energy and sweating. Basically, when I took that windbreaker off in 55 degree weather, my jersey was kind of drenched.
Yes. Yep. Gross, but yes.
Gross, but yes.
Yes.
So going down those first hills at 20 miles an hour in 55 degree weather with a wet jersey, I'm glad that my jersey had a reinforced nipple area. because otherwise I would have torn those things up.
Yeah, that's a brisk bit of wind, isn't it?
To have it is. That woke me up more than the cup of coffee before the ride.
Yeah. Wow.
Big shout out to a couple of people, the Kwans, Don and Tyler Kwan. They looked up and saw what the route was going to be, and it goes right by their house in Loveland. And so they brought out, and they actually made two signs that said "Go" and another sign that said "Brian." So when I went by, they raised up their signs and cheered me on and stuff, which was so cool.
Yeah.
And then there's a group of riders that are passing me at that point, seeing this and going, "What's the deal with you?"
That's great. Yeah. It's like, I'm just, you know, I'm known. I know people. People know me.
Exactly.
It's all good.
And big thanks to Bobby and Stages Cycling, because between the two of them, we were talking about power, right? Like, you know, figuring out what your sweet spot is in terms of power.
Right.
I got this Stages Cycling computer from a listener of the show. Great, great guy in Boulder who hooked me up with one of their demo units. Or I'm sorry, not their demo, but their brand new unit that they're releasing. And if you couple that with a cadence meter, so cadence is your pedal speed, how fast you're pedaling.
Sure.
I developed a technique, and cyclists, you know, there are far more cyclists out there doing it for far longer than I ever have, who can probably say, yeah, Brian, this is totally what you're supposed to do. But what I would do is I figured out my sweet spot for pedaling was 70 RPM.
Yeah.
And in my head, I would hear the Don't Fear the Reaper guitar lick, because the cowbell, that exactly is 70 RPM. So if ever I lost the thing, obviously I could look at my cycling computer, but if I didn't want to look at it, I could say, okay, my head, and pedal on the beat.
Did you say, you didn't sing it just to make it easier for yourself?
At times, right? I did. Yeah, did at times I actually sang it, not just in my head, but out of awesome. My mouth.
That's awesome. I love this. All right.
And so then what I would do is, no matter if I was going uphill, downhill, that's the cadence I wanted to maintain. And I would go up and down gears until I found the point at which, so all right, you know, when you're if you're in a really low gear,
yeah,
and you're just struggling to push those pedals, oh,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And then you get into a much higher gear. I might have these backwards. I might be talking, I guess,
probably, low and high. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, so high gear, you're like really struggling to push those pedals. And you know, if you're going a few miles an hour and you have it on the lowest gear, then your pedals are just basically moving and they're not doing anything.
Yeah, just going, right? I hate that.
Yeah.
That feeling.
So what I would do is I would keep pushing, like keep adjusting the gear until it was like the bike was doing most of the work, and all I was doing was just providing a little, like if I noticed a little bit of resistance, perfect. That's where I would be. That was my sweet spot. So it's just basically, okay, I can maintain that 70 RPM and just push, and basically all my pedaling is doing is just going just a little bit above, you know, where I'm getting resistance.
Sure. That's great. You were able to zero that in pretty much the both 2 days? You know, like you felt
both,
like you got
both
it?
Days. And if you look at my average cadence on both days, like the Strava app will say, you maintained a 68 to 71% cadence the entire time.
And that's good. And
doing that, the smaller hills were no big deal. Those last three hills, more of a big deal, but it made such a huge difference. And
that's great. So, well done, Bobby. Well done, dude, with the company what made those. And
Stages, yeah, Matt, Stages.
And well done, Brian, finding a song that matched your cadence. I think that's right.
And there are lots of songs. You know, INXS has a ton of songs that are that BPM is perfect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can hear it.
Yes, Nick, not Matt. I keep calling him Matt, but Nick at Stages Cycling. He is awesome, and he's the reason that that this weekend went as well as it did.
Very nice. So. Very nice. And is this the most donations you got since you've been doing this, right?
Ever. Yeah. Years? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think I barely broke 2,500 last year, and I'm just under 3,500 there. You can actually still donate until the end of August. So if you still haven't donated, you're like, oh shoot, did I miss the deadline? No, you haven't missed it. You can donate still by going to tiny.cc/bikecoverville2022. And you can, You can do that. Terminus in 1961 says, on the next Coverville, covers with the best cycling canes. I actually...
You should do that.
Really.
Why not?
I was really close to... I dug out my DJ equipment. I actually have my DJ... You know, my...
Oh, yeah. You're in wicker, wicker, wicker.
Turntables and a microphone situation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I was going to record a mix of songs and keep the cadence, like, basically keep the beat, you know, without... without putting any slower songs in there and without any breaks, just make it a constant 1 hour long 70 BPM mix. But I never did.
You never did.
Never got to it.
That's all right. Look, you have the devil's haircut. That's all you needed.
That's right. It's all I need right there.
Well, that's great. I'll tell you what I did while you were writing. Used you as a way to escape the horrendous weekend of news that everybody was experiencing.
Oh, geez.
So what would happen is I would, you know, doom scroll for a while and then go, oh, yeah, but Brian's out riding on a bike for helping MS and these people are getting good help and it's good. It's a good, you know, and then I go, oh, doom scroll. Good. Yeah, but yeah. Brian's earning money for people who are sick and really struggling in life that you don't even realize how bad that disease is. Doom scroll. But Brian, that's what I kept doing.
Good. Well, I'm glad that I could provide a diversion. I put up a few in Facebook. I put up a few stories, like the little recorded bits, and realized that I... What are you doing, Scott?
Sorry, I get my phone out of my pocket. It was killing me.
Okay, all right. what I realized is that I'm an old man who doesn't know how to watch the little timer go around the circle for recording recording those things in Facebook that have a time limit. So I'd be like, all right, so here at the rest stop number 2, and it's about 55 degrees right now, and here's Uncle George, here's the rest of the team.
Look, whatever. Shouldn't have a limit. That's the rule. That's the deal.
Then it started a new video. All right, so I guess there's a little bit of a time limit, but let me show you what we got behind me. So we got a thing where you can get some Gatorade. Over here, they have some Nutri-Grain.
What are you going to do, though? You know?
Yeah, exactly. So
Zuckerberg says no.
If you want to laugh, go check out Old Man Learns How to Use Facebook. Are those scenes? No, what are those called?
Stories, yeah. Because reels are also limited, but stories are the ones that definitely are. And they're ephemeral, so they're not there forever. So if you want to see Brian's...
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah, stories don't stay forever. They go away after...
Better hurry.
24 hours? Something like that. They might be gone. They might be gone by now.
They might be gone.
I think you set them... Like, that was their answer to... Everybody started doing stories because they were trying to compete with Snapchat, and then... I can't remember if Facebook's or Instagram's actually expire. I think they do.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
Well, it looks like at least one of them is still on there. So I don't know which rest stop that was. That was like one of the few where I actually wore glasses. I had my cycling glasses on. I took those off. I only wore those for about 10% of the ride because they were driving me nuts. They were like... heating up, getting misty, steaming up is
steaming
the word,
up. That's the word you're looking for.
Steaming up, from
getting misty. I like that better though.
Getting misty. They were getting misty because I was putting out so much heat.
So much heat, Brian. Heat.
Yeah, putting out heat.
Well, good job. You did the good fight for a good cause, and
thanks.
This year's is over. If Brian does it again, give him some time before he commits. Okay, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, I'll do it again. I have to do it for Barb.
Yeah, do it for Barb. Do it for Barbara.
That's the only reason I do the MS-150. I take that back. I do it for everybody struggling with MS, but she's the reason I started doing it.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. You got this personal connection, and you do what you do. There's nothing wrong with
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
All right. Well, on that note, that illustrious note, what are we? Oh, we're going to do... Okay, so we are going to play a game today. Dunaway's not here.
Right.
He's got a meeting, so he couldn't get out of it, and as a result, we're going to go ahead without him, and it's going to be just me and a listener. And so you're encouraged to call in as soon as you want to, 801-471-0462, if you would like to be a part of today's chicanery. Okay? So get that going right now. All right. We're going to play this little game. Let's find out who we got on the line. Hold on 1 second. Hi, who is this? Hello? Hello? Oh, sorry.
Hello.
Sorry. I had you muted. Sorry. Who's this again?
It's Jamie.
Oh, Jamie. Hey, Jamie. Hey, you know what?
MS mashups, Jamie?
Yeah, you know whose birthday it is? Apparently, there's like 12 birthdays in the chat today, but Jamie's birthday today. Wow. Yeah, happy birthday, dude.
It is my birthday.
Yeah. How does 44 feel? Just kidding. You're not that old yet. What are you anyway? 38? You're in your 30s still. You're a kid.
Right? I'm 38 today.
38? Jeez. I mean, I know it sounds weird to say you're a kid, but that's how Brian and I see you now. You're just a kid.
You're just a kid. Exactly. Yeah.
You're a young man. Well, it's good
to
have you here.
Are you calling from Canada or the International Space Station?
It sounds really far away and quiet. Hold on. Let me see if I can crank you up. Here, now say something. Oh, yeah. You're super crunchy.
Let's see.
There you go. Can you hear us?
Okay, hold on. I got to take off my headset.
Oh, yeah. The headset, okay. I think that's your problem right there. Something crusty going
on.
Oh, much better.
Oh, my God. So much better.
Yeah.
Better?
A million times better.
The free Tim Hortons headset with any purchase is just not working.
That's right. With every poutine, you get your headset.
Crap.
Well, no worries. We're going to play a game. Brian, you want to explain how it's going to work today? Because we're minus
the lag on this should be fantastic for this game.
Yeah, we'll really enjoy this lag. Go ahead.
We're going to play a game of TMS High-Low. I'm going to ask Scott a number-based question, and he's going to give his answer. If it's correct, great. If it's not, which it probably won't be, I will ask you, Jamie, if the actual answer is higher or lower. And if you're correct, at least 3 times out of 5... you will win a prize package that includes, from Steam, Monaco and Sunset Overdrive.
Oh, those
sound like both racing games?
No, Sunset Overdrive is like a dude on hover feet or something. I can't remember. Oh. But it's like a run around real fast thing. It's made by the Insomniac people who make like Ratchet and Clank and...
Cool. All right.
Like Spider-Man games and all that. They're really, really good. And the other one, Monaco, is this top-down... I forget how it works. It's kind of a stealth thing, if I remember right. It's a weird indie. They're both real good games. This is an excellent prize package. Very nice.
Well, good. Well, Jamie, this could be yours. So let's start here. Let's ask Scott a question. Scott, what is the record as of 2018, looks like, for most knives thrown around a human target in 1 minute? So you know how they've got those people who line up on a wheel. Sometimes the wheel spins, sometimes it doesn't. Let's say in this case it doesn't, but you've got a person who throws knives around the person.
Yeah, I'm going to say 52. 52.
52. That number is incorrect. Jamie, is the actual answer higher or lower than 52?
In a minute, though, that's the thing.
In 1 minute, 60 seconds, how many knives?
Yeah, I'm taking it.
That's high, he says it's high.
He says high. So you're saying the actual answer is lower than 50?
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I say okay. High. Okay.
Yeah.
He's got some lag and weirdness.
There's some lag. Yep. Yeah. All right. The actual answer is 144.
What?
Almost triple that. That means they are throwing two, like both handed, I think.
Oh my gosh. How is the person alive that's in the middle? Are they dead or what's the deal with them? Are they okay?
It doesn't say. It might be
someone check in on the guy on the board. Someone, my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. 144. All right. That's all right.
Insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. All right. Next question, Scott.
Yeah.
How many wineries are there in California? You know, California, known for wine. That whole Napa Valley has wineries. How many wineries are in California?
850. 850.
850. 850 is incorrect. Jamie, is the actual answer higher or lower than 850?
Oh, gosh, that's a big number. Let's go... I'd say higher. It's a big state.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a big state.
It is a big state. Lots of wineries in it.
Yep.
The actual answer is indeed higher. 4,391 wineries in California.
That's a lot. Holy crap.
Those of you living in Oregon, you guys are in second place with 774.
Jeez. Second place? Is that
second
much
place
down?
Second place is that much of a gap between first and second place.
Yeah. That surprises me. Are there any, and if that's second place, I guess there's nowhere else in the nation that's anywhere close. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I thought there was a bunch of winery stuff in... what am I thinking of? Like, not Boston. Maybe somewhere in
Washington has wineries. They have 772 wineries in Washington.
Is it mostly a Western Coast thing?
Like, yeah, we don't, okay. So there's wineries in Colorado in the San Luis Valley over by Grand Junction.
Yeah.
But nowhere near this number.
All right. Well.
All right. So Jamie, you got 1 point. All you need is a couple more. We got a few more questions. Scott.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How many Munchkins were cast for The Wizard of Oz?
Oh,
So I mean, you've got your main ones, right? Your Lollipop Guild and your mayor, but then you've got, you know, you got a few behind the front of the stage, basically in the background. How many Munchkins were cast for The Wizard of Oz?
And it doesn't just count little people cast. We're talking about like kids and whoever, right? It's just Munchkins in the movie.
I think they're all little people. Yeah.
Well, I thought there were some kids. Maybe not. All right.
Maybe not. There's some little people kids.
They're all kids at one point, right? I guess. All right. I'll, let's see. This is old Hollywood. Things were cheap. Yep. I'm going to say 300 Munchkins.
Okay. The 300 is incorrect. Jamie, is the actual answer higher or lower than 300?
There's a lot of weird stuff that went on with that movie. 300. I'm going to have to go lower.
Lower than 300. Right. Okay.
Lower than 300. According to Turner Classic Movies, there were 124 Munchkins
cast. Damn it. He's right again. Just killing it.
No, that's good. Yeah, he needs to be right.
Yeah.
Each Munchkin made $50 per week. However, Toto made $125 per week.
Is that true? That's not true.
That is 100% true, thanks to Turner Classic Movies.
The dog made, well, obviously his owners.
The dog made more than twice as much.
That's insane. That's crazy to me.
As each Munchkin.
Yeah.
All right. Including mutton chop sideburns, how many U.S. presidents sport facial hair in their official portrait?
How many? Oh,
how many? So,
jeez.
46 presidents, 46 official portraits. How many of them have some sort of facial hair?
I'm going to go with, I think it's probably lower than I would think. So I'm going to say 12 of them have beards.
12 presidents is absolutely correct.
Whoa, what?
Well done, Scott.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. That gives a point to Jamie. So Jamie has won the prizes.
Yeah.
We'll play this out for the last question here.
That's crazy.
Well done on the accurate guess.
Do you have a list of the actual the 12 people?
I don't. John Quincy Adams was the first. William H. Taft was the last. The last president to have facial hair in their photograph
was Taft. Portrait
was Taft. Yeah, none since. Crazy. Because you think about, you know, like. Kennedy and Nixon and Carter.
Nixon should have rocked a beard, man. Just a big
totally
old.
Holy, should have rocked a beard, right?
Big old Nixon beard. That's so much cooler when he's going, you know?
Here's the list. J.C. Calhoun found the list. List of presidents with facial hair. John Quincy Adams, Martin Van Buren, Zachary Taylor, Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant, Rutherford B. Hayes, James Garfield, Chester Arthur, Grover Cleveland, Benjamin Harrison, Theodore Roosevelt, William Howard Taft. Now, Harry S. Truman, his official portrait doesn't have facial hair.
No, but he sported facial hair at some point during his presidency.
He sported facial hair at some point, yeah.
I have never heard of, what was the name? Hold on. You mentioned a name I just have never heard of. I've heard of every
Roosevelt,
name here
Taft,
except
Harrison,
Chester
Grover
A.
Cleveland.
Arthur. I've never heard of that dude. This is the first time I've heard of one of our president's names. I'm embarrassed. Everybody else.
The only thing that he can really add to his claim to fame is that he signed an executive order to list potatoes as tubers.
Great. Yeah, that's great.
It. That's the only thing.
Good job, old man, Mr. Professor Arthur. That's just horrendous to me.
Arthur.
I don't know. That's so weird to me. When did he die? 85. Died 4 years after he served. He only did.
No, he died in 86. His presidency was 1881 to 1885.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I'm looking at the wrong thing. I never heard. I feel like I failed history. That's insane. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie, how does that? How do you feel, dude? You won.
Hey, we got one more question.
Oh, we got one more. Sorry.
Yeah, we got one more question. Yeah.
But Jamie has one. But let's play this out.
No, I know.
Yeah.
How many people attended history's largest free rock concert? So free rock concert, anyone can attend. How many people attended said concert?
And you're not going to tell me what concert it was by any
I'm
chance.
Not going to tell you what
venue
concert
it was.
Yeah, or what venue. Or I'm guessing venue, it was outdoor. It's probably outdoor, which makes it a lot more big.
I'll tell you that. It was out. Yeah, it was an outdoor space. Concert.
Okay. Yep. It's outdoor. I'm going to say 100,000 human beings.
That number is incorrect. Okay. Jamie, take another guess. Is the actual answer higher or lower than 100,000?
Well, I'll tell you, when we do the fireworks in Vancouver, like the tiny-ass beaches that we have here, we can fit 500,000 people. So it's definitely going to be higher than 100,000.
Really? Oh, it's too many damn people. It's too many damn people in one place.
That
but yes,
too many damn people. That is correct. Yeah, the highest number. This was December 31st, 1994. A free concert staged by Rod Stewart at Copacabana Beach in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, on New Year's Eve attracted an audience of 4.2 million.
What?
Yeah.
For him? Why? What is his deal in Brazil? He must be like Hasselhoff in Germany or something.
They do assume that a few of those people just turned up just to see the fireworks display at midnight. But
guess so. That's weird. What a weird. I would have, if you just said Rolling Stones or said U2 or said million other. You could have said Billie Eilish. I would have believed you. But freaking him,
Rod Stewart.
Yeah. The hell. All right.
Do you think I'm sexy?
Prepared to perk. I can't even think of another song. That's the only one I can think of. What else is there?
Come on. You're in my heart. You're in my soul.
You're in my house. Get the hell out of here, that song. Jamie, you've won, and we play this when you win.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
That means these keys, which are not region locked, they work anywhere, including Canada, will be sent to you by Brian. You know how to get a hold of him.
Yes.
So do that. He'll send those to you ASAP. And does that make your birthday better or worse to know that you won today?
Oh, it's better. And TMS always makes it better. Oh, so there you go.
Yeah. Well, very nice.
How could it not be better?
Well, Jamie's a genius and makes amazing stuff. You'll hear more of that later today when we play one of his mashups. Jamie, happy freaking birthday, man. And we'll see you next
time. Thank
you. Bye now.
Sounds good.
Bye.
How come I won't hang up on him? I don't know. Oh, okay. All right, there's the end of that. Now, this wouldn't be a TMS show if we weren't bringing you the hot breaking news of the day. It's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by DZ Nuts Chode Butter. Paint your taint with DZ Nuts Chode Butter. 4 out of 5 cyclists recommend it, and I don't want to meet the fifth.
No, who wants to meet that guy?
Nobody.
I don't want to be anywhere near that dude. To be honest,
he's the one who's going down the road going,
my nuts. All right. Here's your story of the day. Your first one, Oklahoma in the news. And no. Okay. Listen, everybody, I'm trying my hardest to be a positive force for laughter and fun this week.
Sure. Yes.
Because the alternative is a nightmare.
Because the world is, or at least the country, is slowly moving backwards.
Yeah, I would say rather quickly in the last couple of days. But because of that, some people are like, well, what are they going to do on the show? What are they going to talk about? No, we're not. We're not getting into it. We're going to try to be the one place in all your consumed media where you don't have to deal with it. Okay? Yeah. The one place where we talk about guys doing dumb stuff to alligators or whatever happens to be in the news. Okay? So I'm just letting you know ahead of time. That's why.
As a matter of fact.
If you want to hear me get mad, follow my Twitter account. I've been plenty mad. All right.
Yeah.
Oklahoma man leads authorities on pursuit. He got found hours later hiding in cow manure.
Oh, well, there's a good way to hide. Ugh. He was still found, though, right?
Yeah, he was still found. Unfortunately, you're right. Wow. I don't know if they have hosed him off or threw some of that like Shawshank powder on him. You know, they do that
whole
thing.
Right. Yes.
Is that still a thing they do? Do they throw that?
I have no idea. It's a delousing powder, right? Isn't
it? Yeah. Yeah. What does that even mean?
Sure, they do.
What is delousing? Lice. Oh, lice. Is that what that is?
Yeah, I think so.
Probably less of an issue now, or maybe they have a different way of doing it.
They just use Rid and a fine tooth comb.
Spray you with Raid. That's what they should do. Just spray you with Raid. Right. Anyway, police in Nettawa County, Oklahoma, says 23-year-old Wolf October Berry.
Wow.
Yep. Oh, I love going and picking those Wolf October berries.
Wolf October berry.
Oh, they're berry. So good. They make an amazing shake, you know, if you want to make a really nice citrusy shake.
By the way, it's Nowata County.
What would I say?
You flipped around the T and the W, so Nettawa.
Dope.
Berry.
All right.
Well, berry.
Nonetheless.
Wolf October berry. that is the season, right? It's October. You don't want to pick those wolf berries in any other month. But,
No. They give you the shits. That's what they do. They initially fled from officers who were attempting to make a traffic stop for not wearing a seatbelt. Berry sped away from the officers and drove down a county road before crashing and continuing to flee on foot. Authorities say Berry was located later that day, after hiding in cow manure for several hours. Berry had been charged with eluding police, running a roadblock, possession of stolen property over $1,000, and possession of a firearm and a commission of a felony, according to deputies. A loaded 9mm semi-automatic pistol was found in Berry's truck, along with stolen property he allegedly acquired from burglarizing two nearby properties. The story is weird because I just finished Berry, and it's weird saying Berry so much.
Oh.
You know?
Wolf October Berry hid in a mountain of shit and came out smelling like shit on the other
on end. On the other end. That's the other thing I always want to say about Andy Dufresne. When he came out of that thing into the river,
right,
which implies that the sewer system from the prison just pumps itself into the river. There's no way Andy Dufresne was clean on the other side. I understand the metaphor. I know what they're going for metaphorically.
Of course, yes.
But he's covered in poo.
Yeah, but then it's not even like it means both things. No, it only means the thing you're saying. It only means that he came out clean, washed away from Shawshank on the other side.
Yeah, that's true. Although it did rain on him, and maybe that helped. I don't know. I just can't help but think that after that, he went into that bank, right? All gussied back up, cleaned up.
Right.
He was getting all of his fake money out and everything. Did the lady just kind of go, ooh, what is that?
Where are you headed? See what now? Thank God.
Where are you going, Mexico? Oh.
Yeah, good. I hope you're not taking air travel.
Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out.
Recycled air is just not going to work for us.
Anyway, Barry sat in that manure, and boy, hats off to a criminal who can handle that, I guess. Good job.
Yeah, no kidding.
Speaking of crocodiles, or I said alligators, but I mean crocodiles, man fought off a charging crocodile with a frying pan, and the video went viral.
And somebody posted it, because when you were talking about people doing weird stuff with alligators, somebody posted it. Captain Kipper posted the video, and it's fantastic.
Is it this actual video?
I have not seen this.
Is this the one from the story that he posted?
It has to be, because I can't imagine this happening more than once.
Why isn't it running for me? Oh, here we go. Okay, so there's your gator. There's your dude. Got a frying pan.
First question is, why does he have a frying pan in the first place? He doesn't look like he was cooking anywhere near there.
Yeah, what is... That's great. He goes down there, whacks him in the snout twice, sends him on his way. You know, this is why we're at the top of the food chain. We have frying pans.
It's like a Donkey Kong Country 3 is what we're watching.
Yeah, I got to see this part where why are you down there?
Yeah.
Well, gators,
what a shot, though, man. Boy, he
he got him on the beak.
Well.
Is that what that's called? Snout, probably.
On the snout.
Yeah.
But the two, and it isn't until the second shot that the alligator says, okay.
You win. He's like, all right. And even the way he turns his head, I'm going this way. Anyway, this guy did this. His name is Shane Chambers. They were trying to leave the lodge of the owners. They were in a lodge, and the owner has a pet crocodile. They're just trying to get out of there.
Oh, okay.
So he went out with the pan with the intent of kind of waving it and scaring it.
This pet. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, this guy's pet. Says, when we were leaving the island via helicopter and the croc was blocking the path, the owner was worried about our safety.
Got croc blocked.
Yeah, croc blocked. Oh, this is the owner. This is the guy that actually owns the thing.
Gotcha, okay.
I mean, not that that justifies hitting an animal. I'm not saying that. Anyway, he went to get the frying pan just to shoo the croc away. Now, I noticed as he walks out the door and walks down there, there's a little bit of egg or something left in that frying pan.
Is there?
I'm going to go scroll. But yeah, go back to the start of that. He's got like some breakfast in there. Here, look, chat.
You think really?
Yeah, look at that. What is that?
No, I think that's the silver bar around the handle.
Is it? It looks like a little lump of goo in there. Here, if you go back to like early on. Yeah, there's something in that pot or that thing.
Before the first swing, because it definitely if it's
no, even earlier when he's like going down the steps.
Oh, this video doesn't start with the steps.
Oh, you don't have that.
I'll go to the Fox Orlando video because.
Oh yeah. The one I'm looking at has a whole sequence where he.
Okay. Yeah, where he's.
He walks down there and has a plate full of.
Oh yeah, this one shows the whole thing. Okay, I'm only seeing the. Just seeing the last little bit.
That's how they get you.
Fox 35 Orlando and your multiple commercials that I don't want to see.
Yeah. My blocker worked for me, I guess. I didn't see any of those ads.
It's in Australia.
Australia. Anyway, so that's what you do. You take a frying pan with you and your pet will leave.
Wow.
One final story. Nothing to do with any... this sounds like I'm pulling it out because of certain things happening with our national or our federal Supreme Court, but an Ohio attorney who is in the Supreme Court of Ohio... If you guys aren't familiar with how this works, every state also has a Supreme Court of their own. It's a lower court, but that's the deal. He is indefinitely suspended from the Supreme Court of Ohio because he has repeatedly been caught driving naked.
Oh.
Yeah, with his wiener out.
Repeatedly, even. Yep. Wow.
Supreme Court of Ohio indefinitely is the word I'm trying to freaking shove out of my face. Suspended in Hamilton, Ohio, attorney for repeatedly driving naked and exposing himself to other motorists. This is during a 2018 traffic stop. He was charged with public indecency and reckless operation of a vehicle when it was discovered that he was driving nude.
I hope the car does not have black leather seats.
No, ain't nobody want that. I don't want that.
No.
The suspension is effect today. It's based on a subsequent complaint filed by the Butler Bar Association in June of 2021, which alleged that Blavelt is his name, had been convicted of three additional counts of public indecency since the first was suspended, or since he was first suspended. So his sentence includes fines, jail sentence of 14 days, and probation terms ranging from 2 to 5 years. So that's a great guy you want on your local Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's the guy you want driving you to work.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if I'm not going to say it. Never mind.
I hope they throw the book at him.
And, there, I hope they throw the book at him and aim right for his naked crotch. That's what I'm saying. All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, we'll have Steven Schleicher with us because it's Monday and that's what we do. But we don't have music yet, so Brian will have to bring it. Brian, what do you have here?
I brought it. Brand new album coming out August 3rd, courtesy of Moon Boot Records. Moon Boot. Those, you know, big silver moon boots. This is from a band called Childseat. Their new album is called Bad Holiday. These guys are from, let's see. Oh, wow. In the middle of recording this album, Mizachi, one of the guys, Madeline Matthews and Josiah Mizachi, he fell ill with COVID. So he was bedridden for weeks, climbing the walls. He did instrumental tracks at his house and then sent them to Madeline, who recorded vocals. And they finally released this, put together this album. First single is called Is This the End? No, I'm sorry. If This Is the End, here is Childseat.
Talking about the weather, losing sight of where. Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch!
Shit.
Hashtag you go, girl. You feeling 100? Yeah?
The Morning Stream. Now gluten-free.
All right, we're back, everybody. Hey, remind me who that was. That seemed like a nice song.
Yes, that was Child Seed is the band from their brand new album, Bad Holiday. That's the first single called If This Is the End.
I think that was a weird decision when they're all sitting around as friends going, what do we name our band? I don't know. How about Child Seed?
Right. Yeah, exactly. They're looking around the room saying, Child Seat?
Yeah. Yeah. One of us has a kid. Let's just name it Child Seat. That's a weird name.
Well, you know, you run into problems where it's like, you know, there's already a band called this or a band called that. Nobody's going to be called Child Seat. Mm-hmm. So they've locked it in.
What I don't understand is how many we're running out of car names. So I understand band names can add a bunch of thes and operating words and things to kind of change up how your band is named. And so you can get away with that for a really long time. Like nobody's name, you know, the Wet D-Pad. But that's a weird, I just was looking at a controller.
You were looking at your 8-bit Doe controller.
Yeah, I was looking at it right here. But we have the same one. Right, oh, look at us with the same 8-bit Doos. Yep, awesome. Ooh. Look at us. I love this thing. It's great.
I do too.
I use it for all my retro games. Anyway, point is, what was I saying? Oh,
you're talking about band names.
But cars are screwed. They're running out of names because you can't do all the operators. You can't go the Magnificent Accord. You have to call it the Accord or an Accord, or it's just Accord. And they don't, what else? We're done. Sorento. Yeah. I don't want Sorento on my,
you know, that's why Audi is like the A5, the A6,
actually
the A7.
That's a great idea. Yeah. You know what, Audi? You got it. You did.
They figured it out. Yeah, it's like Chicago. How they keep naming their albums: Chicago 12, Chicago 13, Chicago 14.
Exactly. It's just you know, it's no one who names their thing the new iPad, Apple. You dummies.
I know. Or new Super Mario Brothers, Nintendo.
Yeah, Nintendo. That was also stupid. All right, Steven Schleicher is joining. Ah, crap. Hold on, there he is. Okay, Steven Schleicher entering the call as he does each and every Monday, and we play this little thing for him, and we're off to the races.
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
Hey, look who it is. It's Steven Schleicher joining us all the way from Hayes, Kansas, in the home of MajorSpoilers.com. Steven, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Hey, man. Listen.
Hey, dude.
How do you feel about... Oh, I just forgot the name of it. Shit. Oh, The Boys this season. Are you watching it? Are you keeping track of that
business?
I haven't
watched a single episode.
Of any of The Boys ever? Of any
season?
No,
no, no. I watched the first season of The Boys, and I really, really liked it. When season two came around, there was this feeling of, maybe it was just because of the time period it came out. Who knows? I was just kind of sitting there going, I don't know if I'm really ready to watch The Boys season two. And then there's this weird thing with me. So you have to bear with me on this.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think people should worship Darth Vader. I don't think people should sit around thinking that Darth Vader is the coolest.
Sure.
I don't think people should be excited about stormtroopers walking around a convention center. And so when it comes to The Boys season 3, and I've read Herogasm, so I know what goes on in that.
Yeah,
sure.
And then I see all these people going, oh, my gosh, the Boys is so awesome. This is the best thing ever. These guys tell it like it is. And I'm just
I
like,
see what you mean.
I'm sorry. I don't think that I want to watch that show because you're not a large portion of the audience probably does get it. But there's another large part of the audience that thinks that this is a venue for hero worship. And that is not the point of The Boys.
Yeah.
And so, definitely, no, I haven't watched it.
Definitely isn't. I am enjoying the season.
Oh, no. And if you want to enjoy it, that's fine.
But yeah.
You're going around talking about how any of the characters.
Is the greatest.
Yeah. If there's, I mean, none of the characters, even Wee Huey towards the end of the series, is not a great person. So.
No, they're terrible people. They're all terrible people.
Yeah, they're all terrible.
Starlight is not the only good person on that. The only, you know, true and good person on that show.
Yeah. In the comic, she goes places. But in the, in the show, they paint her with a much lighter brush.
They definitely paint her with a, exactly.
So, I just figured out what I can relate this to. This is like people who unapologetically and unironically think that Rick from Rick and Morty is awesome.
Yes.
And they're missing the point of what Rick is.
Yes. So, he's a broken human being that. Yes.
Yeah. He's effed up.
Another good example is the Joker.
Yeah. And you can like these characters for what they are. Like, I love stormtroopers. You can tell I got like 50 of them behind me, but it's not that. It isn't me going, oh man, I love the oppressing army that takes advantage of the, you know, that's not me.
Yes, so, you can like Darth Vader for being a bad person, for being evil and being vile.
He's a cool villain.
Yes, he's a cool villain. But for people that are like, oh man, Darth Vader just really knows what's going on, dude. And like, I think we should all follow Darth Vader. Or even those morons that are like, you know, if you want people to accept the police, just have them dress up in stormtrooper uniforms because everybody loves stormtroopers. And it's like, I think you're literally missing the point there.
You know, all of this said, when I'm out on the road and I'm stuck in traffic, I start to kind of say, maybe Thanos is onto something.
Yeah. Only in traffic, though.
Only in traffic.
Yeah. We had a few of those this week. Man, I feel like people are driving worse than ever. I don't know what's going on. Something's in the water. Anyway, well, Stephen, it's good to have you here. We're going to dive into a couple of things here. For example, Tim Sale passed away. One of the greatest comic artist creators, I think, ever. I mean, if you've ever read The Long Halloween, Batman The Long Halloween, you'll immediately know how just striking his work was. An amazing.
All of his art is very striking. And if you haven't read The Long Halloween, you've certainly seen large portions of it in the Heath Ledger Batman movie.
Yeah.
Because there were large sections of that were just lifted. The whole Harvey Two-Face bit was directly from Long Halloween. The burning all the money stuff was all from Long Halloween, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. He is unique in the space and died way too early. I think he's only 57 or 60, something?
Yeah, no, I want to say he was like 68 or something.
Oh,
like that.
Really? Wow.
Something yeah, yeah. Like he that. Was very young. I mean, relatively.
Yeah, young for when you should die.
Yeah, died from kidney failure. He was in the hospital for maybe a week, less than a week, and then they said, well, he's passed away. And then one of his friends, Richard Starkings, came out and said, no, he passed away from kidney failure. So,
gosh, dang it, that's just it's a bummer. But if you haven't done yourself the favor of reading Long Halloween, or for that matter, he has this Batman run or Superman for All Seasons is what I'm thinking.
Superman for All Seasons, really good.
Amazing.
He did this color run. Him and Jeff Loeb teamed up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't read, so we're talking about DC Comics here, but on the Marvel side, if you haven't read Superman Blue, Daredevil Yellow, and Hulk Gray. Hulk Gray is probably the least like of the three.
You do Crayola box or something.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. But definitely go and read Spider-Man Blue and Daredevil Yellow. They are fantastic in the stories that they're telling. Spider-Man Blue, Spider-Man is reminiscing about Gwen Stacy after her death. Mm-hmm. And this is after he and Mary Jane are married. That's kind of where it sets in the timeline.
Oh, interesting.
And he's reminiscing about, you know, how awful it was, hence the name Blue. How awful it was that Gwen Stacy had to die when he was totally in love with her. So,
yeah, well, it's a really, I don't know. It's a loss. His work is so interesting because it's, I look at it and there's a simplicity to it. At the same time, mm-hmm. there's a complexity to it. It's just, mm-hmm. it's hard to describe it. But kind of one of a kind and, super sad to see him pass. And everybody seemed to love him. Like all these other comic creators, like that dude is awesome. I cannot believe he passed away. And it seems like this is just a string of high-profile comic creators lately.
Neil Adams, George Perez, Tim Sale.
What the heck, man? They need to slow that down, slow that roll. I know time passes, you know, but whatever. Okay, Secret Invasion news. Get ready, everybody, because your invasion's about to be secret. What do we know about this? Because
So Samuel L. Jackson was on Jimmy Kimmel Live a couple of weeks ago. And they were asking, you know, what are you done with Secret Invasion? And he's like, no, I got to go back and shoot some stuff. But then Kevin Feige came out and was like, okay, here's a little tidbit of news on when Secret Invasion takes place. Mm-hmm. It takes place between the last two Avengers movies.
and if you're paying attention, that is the blip, the 5 years, the disappeared 5 years,
which again has people scratching their head because they're like, but Nick
Samuel
Fury
L.
got
Jackson.
Snapped during the blip.
Kobe, you know, Smulders.
Got, yeah. Exactly. Mm. So is he being a Skrull during the entire time? What's the deal? Maybe it was a Skrull that got zapped.
Yeah.
My prediction is that it's going to be told in flashback. So there are going to be parts of the show that take place during the blip, but the timeline of the show will be post blip when Samuel L. Jackson is using clues from the blip to figure out where who's a Skrull, who's not a Skrull.
Yeah, that could be it. Could be it.
I found this really great interview with Sam Jackson with can't remember who did the interview. Crap, The Times, I think. Anyway, here's what he said. They were asking about what's your take on the criticism that the Marvel movies have done too much to take over cinema and it's all just popcorn movies now and there's nothing but these are the big draws and that sort of thing. And he says all movies are valid. Some go to the cinema to be moved. Some people like heroes or superheroes. If someone has more butts on seats, it just means your audience is not as broad. There are people who have successful careers, but nobody can recite one line of their parts. I'm the guy who says shit that's on a T-shirt. Basically, he's just saying, look, it's all movies, like whatever.
Yeah. So, maybe the TMS audience knows, but how many of you have watched all of Jim Jarmusch's movies, right? Probably very few.
I've seen
people.
Three of his movies, particularly.
That's probably all of them.
Yeah. That might be all of them.
So the thing is, audiences and movie lovers, people like Brian, who will go and see anything and everything. Mm-hmm. you need to embrace the big Marvel movies, the big Warner Brothers superhero movies, the Godzilla movies, the smash 'em up, the big outrageous Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah,
because they do two things. Number one, they get audiences into the movie theater, and then number two, they generate tons of money. Now, all of that money goes to the studio, and then it gets divvied up, blah 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 blah. But if your Top Gun Maverick movie makes $1 billion in the box office, Tom Cruise isn't walking away with $1 billion. A lot of that money then gets put back into other movies so that they can make more money. Mm-hmm. And the best thing is, the more money that a studio has, the more that they're willing to risk on smaller independent art house films, independent films, whatever it may be, because they have that extra money lying around. Now, if all they did was Paul Thomas Anderson movies, then the studio probably wouldn't have a lot of money to throw around to do bigger stuff or smaller stuff.
Yeah.
So, right. Sam Jackson is completely right. But I think audiences need to realize you take the good, you take the bad, both. And there you have the movie industry.
Yeah. It just doesn't rhyme as well as the facts.
No, it doesn't. Was the first draft that they tried on.
So
did Robin Thicke write that too?
It feels like it. Did he? Oh, that's right. He did write that.
Alan Thicke. Alan Thicke.
Yeah. Robin Thicke was
the good Thicke.
Yeah. He's the one that dressed like Beetlejuice and touched boobies. All right. So what was I going to say? It reminds me of the mobile games market. I was talking to John about this. So John Jagger, part of the core team for the show Core, hates mobile games, actively can't stand them. However, he has this one statement that he always says. He says, look, I know I hate them, and I know a lot of other people may hate them, but I'm glad they exist. And I'm like, why, John? He says, because they generate so much revenue in this industry that it will help these companies keep making the things we want them to make. Because they're not leaving all that money on the table. They'll have money to still make, what used to be the mainstream of gaming is no longer the case. The mainstream of gaming is a bunch of freaking tiny microtransactions on people's phones. Like it or not, that's the truth. So if you still want to have big AAA single player experiences that come out on your PlayStation, your PC or Xbox or whatever, you best be glad that there's this monster money generation happening so that they can still fund these projects. So it's kind of like that. And I'm not saying Marvel movies are equivalent to free-to-play mobile games. That's not what I'm saying.
Turn off your mind and eat some popcorn and enjoy two hours.
Yes, just enjoy yourself. Exactly.
Yes. Right.
That's exactly right. Although, I do kind of agree with this thing lately that's been going around about... were you here when I said... You may have been here, Steven. Maybe I'm repeating myself. I can't remember last Monday. It's a blur.
Okay. I wasn't here last Monday.
Oh, you weren't here. So maybe I didn't tell you. Maybe
we,
I told you.
We all weren't here last Monday because we took...
that's true. We had a holiday.
Off, yeah.
No, but the comment I read somewhere was, and I kind of agreed with it a little bit, as much as I enjoy them, it's like when Endgame happened, the main game ended, and now we're just doing side quests. to finish it up. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying there isn't a new game coming. I'm not saying there isn't a great new arc coming. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you watch them in aftermath of Endgame, and it does feel like my big open world game had its finish, but I got to go clean up these little side quests. You know, and doesn't mean they're not enjoyable.
No, I can see where you're coming from. That I have greater faith that all of this stuff is very much like when we had our Iron Man movies and our Thor movies and our Hulk movies. And then people are like, wait, could we put these together? And then suddenly you got Avengers and then it built into something better. So I think what we're doing here is a big let's introduce the world to these new characters.
Shang-Chi and young Hawkeye and new Black Widow. I agree.
Ms. Marvel, all of that stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are all waiting for that moment where they say, okay, it's all been leading to this. And like, oh, okay, this is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And certainly, unfortunately, the pandemic didn't help any of that stuff. So that's why it may feel like, well, when are they going to get to the point of this fourth stage or phase five or whatever that they're in now? And it's because I think because they just haven't been able to push that agenda forward. And so they're doing this stuff that is relatively safe. If you follow it there, especially in the Winter Soldier thing, there's a lot of stuff going on in that and the Hawkeye thing that starts to point to, oh, yeah, there's something nefarious going on just around the corner. Mm. And we're not going to show it to you just yet, but we will in time. And I think with what's the Demolition Crew? In Ms. Marvel.
Damage Control.
Damage Control, different group.
DC. It's still DC, but different DC. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, with what's going on in Ms. Marvel with them, there's a lot of government freakiness going on in this phase of the movies and TV shows.
Could the big bad of Phase 4 end up being Super Skrull, and that's why we get the Fantastic Four intro? Yeah.
I'm sorry. And if you're looking at it that way, the whole point, especially when they did the big Secret Invasion 20 years ago in the comics, was you didn't know who was the Skrull. Right. So now we're replacing Hydra with the Skrulls, but now the threat is bigger because I don't know if they're going to get into Kree Skrull War. They could with Captain Marvel. So
we did see a blue hand.
We did
recently in a thing.
You saw a blue hand in a thing.
Recently, a blue hand in a thing.
That's the least spoiler I've ever heard anyone say. I have no idea what it's referring to.
Exactly. Yeah. Good. That's how you do a spoiler-free comment.
That's right. A blue hand in a thing. Amazing.
There's a blue arm. Yeah.
A blue arm, even better. Whole arm is better than just a hand. All right. Finally, the three body problem. This is not
a
thing. I have not read this. I have no idea what this is. No, so fill us in, because I guess Netflix is getting a deal.
The Three Body Problem is a trilogy of books by author Liu Zisan. I don't know how you pronounce his last name. He's Chinese. He's a Chinese author. Really going into science fiction that is really Chinese in its depictions and stories. So if you go in and read like the first volume, you can very much tell that there is a communist bent in what's going on in here, and that's kind of part of the point of the story. Mm-hmm. But this story, especially in the first book, which is what I believe the first movie is going to be based on, is this, can't really call him a reporter, but a guy who kind of uncovers a secret alien plot that has been brewing for like 50 years, and the group behind it. It's going to be told in flashbacks from the present of somebody trying to uncover this, and flashbacks to the secret society and how the secret society was formed. That was, let's welcome our alien overlords kind of thing. Mm. So it's going to be really tense, but I'll be honest. I read the first book because everyone was like, oh, Steven, you got to read the Three Body Problem, that whole trilogy. It's super awesome. And I finished the first book and I was like, yeah, I really don't really care for it that much. There's a lot of VR stuff in there, but there's also a lot of math and science going on. Because the idea behind the three-body problem is, yes, we can easily calculate the orbits of two bodies in space. But when we start getting into three bodies in space, it becomes very hard to figure out what the heck is going on.
Yeah, and then what if you had four and then five?
It gets really interesting, especially with the three-body problem as it relates to these aliens in space. Here's the thing. Netflix bought a version of the three body that it's coming to the Netflix series, I believe as a television series in like 2023. Mm-hmm. There's a Chinese studio, Tencent, they are releasing their version of the movie next, towards the end of this year, I want to say. November of this year, I want to say. And the cool thing is, you don't have to wait for Netflix to debut it. Tencent is going to release this officially on its YouTube channel. So if you want to go and see this Chinese movie, you'll be able to do it without having to travel to China or waiting for it to come out on VOD. Apparently, it's going to come out on day and date on their YouTube channel.
So that's there's a weird mix of animation and live action in this thing, I noticed. I was watching part of the trailer.
Yeah, because the whole point of the guy that's in our present is he is figuring out this, what's been going on, because he goes into this VR system where the three-body parable plays out as, you know, you're trying to figure this, who the secret society is, by getting higher and higher and higher in this virtual reality game. But as you play this virtual reality game, you really are seeing the history of this alien civilization.
Interesting. Okay. Well,
it's I don't know. It was very difficult for me to get through it, and I was really into it. And then by the time I was done, I was like, yeah, this is a really good start, but I don't think I'm going to be continuing on with the other two books. And it looks like it's fairly mixed. I'm looking at the chat. It looks like it's fairly mixed from people in the chat as well.
The French term ménage à trois is French for the three-body problem. I don't know if you knew that.
I mean, not if you do it
more
right.
More or less. Yeah.
Not if you do it right.
The three-body advantage.
Yeah, see? Yeah, one man's problem, another man's advantage. Or lady, you know, whoever's there, whatever. Anyway, hey, Steven, these are great. And as always, you can find this sort of stuff over at majorspoilers.com, which is a great resource for all things pop culture, comics, and more. So do check it out. Steven, what's going on the network you want people to know about?
This week on the Major Spoilers podcast, we're jumping back into European comics this week with a look at Tintin and the Secret of the Crystal Spheres, which should be interesting. It's doesn't contain as much racism, problematic racism, as in previous installments. In fact, I think we skipped Tintin in Africa just because it's just like, no.
Yeah.
But this one is actually the first part of a much larger story where Tintin is trying to uncover, is there really a curse of this Incan mummy and who's behind it? And then part two, they go to Peru, I believe, and stop all the ne'er-do-wells.
Were you surprised there was no Tintin follow-up to that? That movie did all right, didn't it?
I am really surprised, because that movie is really good. Mm-hmm. I think that it didn't do well in American audiences with a Steven Spielberg name attached to it. Mm. And so everyone was like, oh, well, if Steven Spielberg can't get Tintin to work, there's no reason for a sequel.
Yeah,
but in Europe, I'd have to go back and see the numbers on it. But I thought it was actually very well done, and it is a very good adaptation of the source material, because there's two, maybe three books that is adapted into that Tintin movie, and it's really, really good, and almost a straight up adaptation, about as good as you can get with it.
Yeah,
amazing. So I'm surprised cast. There wasn't a second one.
It's an incredible cast. That just, you know, it's his first fully animated directorial thing, which I guess was all the rage then, because you had Scorsese with Hugo, and you know, I think he did the BFG as well. Spielberg, hold on.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe that was a second. So yeah, it was his first attempt at that, and I remember thinking, this is really good. I could see a whole series of these, and then nothing. So
yeah, I'd have to go back and look and see what box office numbers were. I'm going to bet it did better in Europe than it did here in America, and probably didn't even go over in Asia.
Yeah, they just looked at this and went, Tintin, forget it.
Probably.
Forget it. We don't know what this is. All right. I'm looking at the trailer for it. I forgot how cool it is. I have to go back and watch it. All right. That's going to do it then. Steven, I hope your week is amazing. Is there anything I should be doing, though, in this heat? The summer heat's really getting to me.
I mean, it's only going to be 75 here today. So if it gets hot in your area, last week was 108. Today is 75. So if it does get hot in your area, please make sure that you stay hydrated.
Very nice. Thank you so much. It's 90 here today, or will be. What's the temp in beautiful Arvada, Colorado, Brian?
Right now, way warmer. Let's not say 68.
Oh,
is the current temperature? Yeah,
it's not bad.
Way better than yesterday.
81 right now. We'll have a high of 95 a little later today, and I think I'll walk the dog at the hottest point of the day. Now, people say when you do that, you're going to burn their little feet, and I know that. Okay, I get it, but I have a route that I scoped out some time ago. Mm-hmm. Last year, where it is 100% grass and shade options for the entire route. And it's like a half hour, 45 minute hard walk. and there is always shade and always grass along this area where Rainier can walk and not burn her little feeties. So I'm very excited about that. Yeah,
good.
We'll do that today. All right, that's it for that. Let's get to a mashup. Jamie was here earlier. Now let's hear his good works, okay? This is called TMS Mashups Insecurance. This is an MM, which stands for...
Well, it's not on our list, so it must have been a new... It's in the new list that he added.
I don't know what it is.
Mashup Madness.
Mashup Madness. There you go.
Monday Mashup.
Monday Mashup. Oh, it's just a Monday Mashup. That's it.
Just a Monday Mashup. Okay. Well, that's kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah. I think just leaving it off would have been enough, but I don't care. Whatever. I like organizing. Here we go. This is it. Enjoy.
Your magic is real to me, David Blaine.
I'm on heavy drugs.
Chris Angel.
Pee pee yes. Poo poo no.
All right, Mr. DeVito, give me your big, nasty club foot with freaking 400 years of goo on it. Put that giant toe in my mouth. Oh, you didn't clip your nail this time. It snagged my cheek.
That's you know the thing about prostitutes? Hey. It's the only profession besides burger joint waitress where you lean into a car window to get things going. No respect.
No respect.
A bottle of lube.
Normally you get... it's an orgy product.
That's right, because you know you'd like a human centipede situation.
A lot of people, yeah.
It was so good, and I don't even like ramen eggs. I don't know why I'm talking like this.
Brian, you can stick your whole in there. Just stick it in, and it'll go blip, blip, blip.
Darn near killed me, Scott. Darn near killed me.
It hurt him, may as well killed him. No, wait, what's the phrase?
Rectum.
Rectum.
Damn near killed him.
I forgot about the rectum part. How's that possible?
That's the most important part of that joke.
No, you can't leave that out. He was burning used toilet paper Saturday while living in a Coconino?
Coconino National Forest.
Is that right? Coconino?
Yeah, Coconino.
Right. Felt like one if I got it wrong, it'd sound really bad.
Coconino.
Coconino. Oh, no. No, no, no.
I can't stomp on it. It's my poop.
We decided to cup it open, and we found a foam ball, part of a fish, and the other object.
The other object.
Mm.
The fish was about this big.
Yeah. It was a monster cat. I don't think I could eat a dildo fish. You're going to help make him sweat, baby.
I'll make you sweat.
I got to lose control. Something in your booty. I don't know how it goes. And then I thought, well, I haven't done that since then. Like, since the 80s and 90s, maybe the 90s, I have not put mouth to in that amount of time. Insecure.com.
Nope, just insure.
How did I read insecure there? Hold on.
Paging Dr. Freud.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, well, that's insure. You're right. Like insurance. Not insure like the weird drink my grandma
drank. Not insecurance.
Yeah, not insecurance.
Buy some insecurance.
Yeah, you need to, it's not legal if you don't have car insecurance. Oh, man, those are some good ones. I actually remember a couple of those conversations for once.
I do too. Yeah. Yeah. For once, the stuff that was in context, we remember the context.
Weird. Who knew? Yeah. Who knew? Hey, Patreon people, the month is almost over. It's what? Only a few days, a couple days, whatever it is. And then and then July, I know, it's just coming too fast, man. So if you haven't gotten in already before the end of the month to get this month's benefits, do it. Hop on over to patreon.com/TMS and find a level that suits your needs. There are plenty to choose from and lots of great reasons, including just a buck a month if you want. Just as low as a dollar. Yeah,
go cheap if you have to. You know, we get it. We know sometimes times are tight. Gotta go cheap.
Yeah, and we haven't kept up with all this inflation at all. Like,
no, we have not adjusted our prices for inflation.
No, we haven't. The restaurant I like to go to my wife with all the time. The other day, I go in there and their menu has a big old disclaimer up top. It says we've had to increase our prices by 18% or whatever it is because of this shortage of people, higher wage, you know, all these reasons. And I'm thinking, man, TMS, what are we doing? We're leaving it right where it is. Okay.
Yep.
Get
for you.
Yeah, for you. It's now one of the cheapest things you can ever pay for. So if you like the show, check it out. Frogpants.com/TMS for all the details and links to our Patreon. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. We'd love to get your feedback, so please keep sending that. And now we exit with a song provided by Brian Ibbett.
That's right. And well, we've talked about him all damn episode long because it's his birthday. But Jamie, TMS Mashups, wrote in and said, hello, Shit 50 and Bogan.
Oh, all right. I don't know what Shit 50. What does Shit 50 mean?
Shafifi?
Oh, Shafifi? Shafifi.
Well, hold on a second. Let me copy and paste this into our Discord so I can read it better. Because right. I have it on a different call or a different color.
Oh, Shifty.
Shafifi.
Oh, there's an
Shafifi.
F in there.
Shafifi. Okay.
Shafifi?
All right. Shafifi. All right. Sure. Why not? And Bogan, the mashup man is turning the ripe age of 38 today, and wouldn't you know it, I'm even in the chat room with you all today. It's been one hell of a year for me and my family, but as always, my Frog Pants family is always there for me to pick me up. They sure are. I love every one of your faces, and I'm blessed to celebrate my birthday today with all of you. Now, enough chatter. It's time to let the cover master do what he does best. But first, Scott has some clips to sort. I want 10 clips in a row alternating laughs and farts.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, geez. Okay, let's see how I can do this.
Yeah.
All right, so we got laughs.
Laughs and farts. How quickly can you do laughs and farts alternating? Jeez.
Okay, so let's see what we get here. We're going to go farts. Okay, so we have a list of... Oh, geez. Okay, so you want alternating and then just 10 of each or 10 total?
10 total. Five farts, five laughs.
All right, so here's... let's start with laughs. All right, one guy. Here's farts.
Kids always think farts are funny.
Okay. This is just for words.
Oh, there was a laugh in that one, too.
Yeah, that also had a laugh. That's Seth Green. Kids
Where is the bathroom? I would like to powder my cheeks.
Okay, and then there's another... All right, and then this. All right, it's done away. And then here's another one.
Schmidt's Blue Ribbon Bread gives you...
Okay. All right, and then this.
What a number.
Al Pacino laugh.
Schmidt's
then,
Blue Ribbon...
Whoops, and then finally this.
The devil farts.
Oh, that's just me saying something. Let's find a better one.
You don't want to know that she farts.
No, that's Wendy. Hold on.
Wish they'd let us off station. Air up here is just recycled spacer farts.
I can't find any more fart farts.
Aww.
All right, it's as close as you get, Jamie. It's all I got, bud.
It's as good as it's going to get.
Yeah.
Thanks to both you and Scott for all that you do. I'm proud to call Frog Pants my home. Hug the yellow snow, bro. Jamie, a.k.a. TMS Mashups. So he says he loves him some hard-hitting drum and bass, or EDM. Well, I've got just the thing for you. An artist named Ramses B. released this single just a couple of years ago, 2020, a cover of one of my favorite EDM instrumentals of all time, a song called Children by Robert Miles. This one adds that whole drum and bass that you like. Here is Ramses B. and Children.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.